American made, but large Chevrolet. My mama taught me wrong from right. I was born in the South. Sometimes I have a big mouth when I see something that I don't like. I gotta say it.
Good evening to all my listeners here on AM 740 KVOR. This is Michelle Morin. I am here to tell you what big media won't. There is so much going on this weekend. We have got the communists versus the Nazis in Charlottesville, Virginia. Oh my gosh. The deepening divide and the escalating evil narrative that just continues to go on and on in this nation. It is directed, it looked like it's, you know, big media wants to call, let's give some little bit of background on what happened in Charlottesville. This is what I know as I've been rummaging through all the posts I can find, and it's very difficult to find out exactly who was at this this protest and who organized the counter protest. We don't have all those facts yet. And listeners, if you have updated information or something off the side, call me at 719-540-0740 and join in on this conversation, because this is murderous now. Supposedly, we've got the Unite the Right organizing this protest in Charlottesville because a Confederate statue was being taken down. And I'm totally with that. Quit taking down our historical statues. Those are part of our history. But Unite the Right is allegedly, and I haven't confirmed this, a white supremacist type movement. And let's just translate it. The big media and all the leftists love to call this movement a new name, and they like to call it alt-right. And I refuse to use that term. It's just yet another term manufactured by the left to try to blur the lines between white racists and the rest of us who are conservatives who are not racists. And because we all, maybe we happen to unite around gun rights or free markets or what have you, the left is so eager to scare you and me out of standing up for what we believe, out of standing up for American ideals, out of standing up for our Constitution, out of standing up for what's right, that they try to scare us with these labels. So if you speak up, you might just fall into that alt-right category. And, ooh, we can't risk that. That's what this whole narrative is about. It's in the same vein as calling fascists calling themselves anti-fascists. It's always compelling with a basis of lies, these narratives flying around. And these narratives are escalating now into murder. So what we know is these white, and again, it's going to be a few days before we know exactly what happened, but here's what I know. White supremacists organized a protest, a riot. You know, they're protesting this Confederate statue being taken down. And lo and behold, counter-protesters show up. And I've heard Antifa, Black Lives Matter. I've heard that George Soros bust some people in. I've heard all kinds of stuff about who showed up to counter-protest. And I have yet to see anything totally verified, but we do know from just looking at the audio and or the video that's out there, it definitely looks like Antifa was out there. So essentially, if this is how it played out, you've got the communists, i.e., the, you know, the Black Lives Matter, the big government, and, you know, the Nazis, the racists going up against each other. And that's not so inaccurate in history. The Nazis and the communists hated each other back in World War II. And so it's not an unfeasible scenario. But here we've got these two groups who both hate America. Well, I'm sorry. I don't think the white supremacists hate America, but they certainly do want to utilize the Constitution, free markets to further their own agenda in their racism. But basically, this is escalating into murderous proportions now. Have you seen the horrific video of the driver of the plowing through the crowd and killing at least one person and injuring, I think, dozens more? It's devastating. I'm thinking Venezuela, Greece. I mean, where did this isn't the America you and I know. And I take this all the way back to Barack Obama's fundamental transformation and stirring up the racism for 8 years. And then, you know, during the election, when Trump started gaining momentum, all of a sudden they had to pull out the race card to start framing him. And by the way, Mueller is staging a stinking coup against our president. We'll go into that a little bit later tonight, too. It is surreal what's going on. But anyway, this Charlottesville protest is, it's devastating. And it's devastating to where we are. It proves that somebody's willing to now murder for their cause. And that's the problem with these war of words that go on. It's escalating and it's deliberate. The left is constantly stirring the pot, stirring the division. If you're not a racist, you're a sexist. If you're not a sexist, you're a homophobe. If you're not a homophobe, you're an Islamophobe. And they're killing ideals so badly and trying to scare you and me out of standing up for what we believe. And they're trying to intimidate Trump. They're trying to intimidate the established or the GOP. They're trying to intimidate all of us, you and me, out of standing up for and for believing what we believe and what we know is right in our constitutional republic. It's just infuriating. And then our president comes out and condemns, quote unquote, both sides. Can you tell me what's wrong with condemning both sides? Can someone please tell me what is wrong with condemning both sides in, you know, a situation like this? Well, we've got the self-righteous leftists and GOP coming out, you know, holier than thou and trying to tell Trump, well, he didn't condemn evil for what it was. I would hate to be Trump. And you got to hand it to him. He's weathering it well. He's weathering it as well as anyone can in his situation. I'm glad he didn't back down on that because he did address both sides. Unlike Virginia Governor McAuliffe, who told Unite the Right to go home and just kept condemning the quote-unquote alt-right. And Breitbart had a reporter on site. There's a video out there where he's following the governor around saying, asking the question, are you going to condemn Antifa? Are you going to condemn Black Lives Matter? Governor heard him and ignored him in his speech and just kept telling the right to go home. This is all really, really suspicious. It's, you know, the left will never condemn their own violence. They constantly condemn and stage us to be violent. And this whole alt-right terminology, it's infuriating because they're trying to scare you and me out of being conservative constitutionalists because they're going to throw us into that violent, far-right, extremist camp so that we will just shut up and sit down. We're going to talk more about that. I have a very special guest in the studio tonight, Anil Mathai. He is the Adams County, Colorado, County GOP chair, and he has come down from Adams County to join you and me here in Colorado Springs to talk about an extremely important vote coming up on September 23rd. And we talked a little bit about it last week. Anil joined us by phone. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized big media is not going to talk about this vote. This is extremely important to you if you are registered GOP, even if you're unaffiliated and maybe you used to be GOP, if you're conservative, if you believe in the Constitution, this is really, really important. And Anil volunteered to come join us in the studio. He is going to explain more about what's going to happen on September 23rd this month in our state GOP. They're going to be making a decision whether or not unaffiliated can vote in our primaries next year, and unaffiliated voters can pick our GOP candidates. That should be very infuriating, and we'll explain more why when we come back. But we're going to go more into that. I'm going to tell you more about what's going on with Trump's administration. National Security Advisor McMaster, this guy is dangerous and needs to be fired. I'll explain why after we've talked to Anil for a little bit. But get next to the phone if you want to call in and find out why this vote, this GOP vote on September 23rd, is so important. Get ready. We need you. I've asked the question, should I stay in the GOP or should I not? This vote might determine that answer that question, and it might answer it for you too. So hang on, we'll be right back with Anil and talk more about everything going on in this country that's opposing you and me when we get back.
The things big media won't tell you with Michelle Marin on AM 740 KVOR.
Okay, Anil Mathai is in the studio with us. Who in the world is Anil Mathai? I adore Anil. Anil is the Colorado Adams County GOP chair. And Anil, I'm going to let him tell you more about his background in politics and involvement with the GOP. But I have come on this program and asked before a few times, golly, I'm just, you know, I'm an inch away from leaving the GOP. And you know who I've called who's kept me on board? You can credit Anil with this, because I've called him, I think, twice in the past year and a couple years and said, I can't do this anymore. And Anil is a fighter. And Anil is, I want you to meet him. And he's here to talk about a critical vote taking place in our state GOP on September 23rd. If you are a registered GOP voter, and even if you're not, if you're unaffiliated because you've had it with the GOP, stay tuned. And I want you to feel free to call and ask Anil questions as we go through this conversation at 719-540-0740, because Anil has a wealth of information. Anil is steeped in the constitutional principles and steeped in how he knows how the GOP works. He knows how the process works. And Anil, you're here. First of all, can you tell me just a little bit about your background in politics? How did you get to become Adams County GOP chair? And why are you so passionate about this?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for the opportunity, Michelle, to come down here. We love coming down here. When my wife and kids come down here, we go to Focus on the Family, the bookstore.
Yay.
And we love driving by, trying to see if any of the fighter jets are taking off and such, you know. Beautiful place down here. I got involved about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I ran for delegate, national delegate for Rick Santorum. I started at the caucus level. I came from the East Coast, and we had primaries there.
Mm.
And in the East Coast, the primaries, you don't really get a say. It's whatever the political parties or the money, big money decides to put on the ballot, that's who you're going to vote for.
Okay.
So East and West Coast has very clearly shown how the primary system has worked. California has clearly shown how the open primary system has worked. But I came in here about 5 years ago into a local school down the street from my house in Westminster, and I got a chance to put some things on the Republican ballot. I mean, the platform.
Okay.
I was like, wow, this is amazing. This is great. My voice actually counts.
Ah.
I actually showed up. I registered as a Republican. I mean, I was always a Republican. I registered here in Colorado, showed up to the caucus. Then I ran for county convention, got accepted to that, ran from the county convention to the state and congressional district 7, which I live up there. And I was going to go. And people said, well, it takes a long time to be a national delegate. And I said, I totally understand, but I feel like I need to have my voice heard. I'm going to sit at the table and not be part of the menu if I'm not at the table. So I got involved. And a miracle happened. And Denver Post called me up one time and says, how in the world did you win? I became number 2 in my congressional district for national delegate, and that was behind Pete Coors, number 1.
And
they had trouble pronouncing my name in it. It was funny. And the Denver Post called me up and said, how in the world did you win? And I said, you know what? I worked hard. I got involved. But let me just tell you this. It was a pure miracle. There's no way. No one knew me. There was no way. I consider it a miracle from God. Just quote it that way. And they said, we can't put that in the paper. I said, well, then there's no other way to explain it. You explain how I won. Other than the hard work and getting people out there and letting people know very clearly that I stand for biblical principles, I stand for our Constitution, I stand for our conservative Republican platform. And when people see boldness and truth, they gravitate to it.
Yes.
And so what has happened is maybe in that district, people were always seeing things that are just completely wishy-washy. So I moved forward. I did that. I went to the national. I learned a lot about Colorado politics in such few months. I kept learning. And then I ran for vice chair in my county, in Adams County, when we came back the year after, and I won. I won more votes than the person who won the chair seat and the two vice chairs. We had three vice chairs at that time, and number two and number three combined, I had more votes. And that was a miracle. I kept myself humble and I focused. I didn't want leadership or any roles. I wanted to make changes.
Yeah.
Our party's going to come back to the Constitution, and our party's going to come back to the platform. We are pathetic if we do not stand for principles.
Yep.
And so that's what I fought for. We made changes. We started in Adams County, volunteer to all of our candidates, local and state, fill out this questionnaire. Tell us in writing you support the Constitution and the platform. Unheard of. I had major pushback from establishment figures. We kept going. We kept going. And now everyone knows that that's what we do in
yep.
Adams County. Why? Because when I look at the Republican voters in Adams County, I want to tell them that they do have a choice of Republican candidates that made it in writing, stated in writing they will support the platform and the Constitution. It's unheard of. One of the biggest games and tricks in politics is to say, vote for them. They have an R behind their name. We have a segment of the Republican politics where if Obama came in here with an R behind his name, they would vote for him because
he
has an R behind his name.
They would.
They wouldn't challenge. We do not, as a political party, whether it's in the county or state, we do not vet our candidates. All we do is who's got the name recognition, who looks attractive, who's got the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about integrity. It's not about character. It's not about principles. And so I decided to stand up and fight for that at the county level after I became a delegate. I ran again. I had a major fight to just mm-hmm. even win chairman's role, but I won it with 75% of the vote.
That's incredible.
I had a county commissioner curse me out in the hallway for saying, you know, he supported my opponent. And I kept cool and I said, that's very classy, commissioner. But I signed my name on that ballot as he was yelling at me because I was winning. And I won 75% of the vote because I kept humble. And I told people what I was going to do. We're going to stand with the Constitution. We're going to stand with the platform. And the power belongs in the hands of we, the people.
Yes.
And what's
yes.
happening is I've learned a lot in politics. There's a lot of con games that go on.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things here is there seems to be an environment where we're giving the grassroots our voice back, their voice back. It's about them. No, it's about big money controlling who your candidate's going to be.
Yep.
And the candidates, if they're not principled, will follow who's paying their bills. They will tell you to your face, regardless of party, Democrat, Republican, whatever, they'll tell you to your face that they support you, and they're lying because they support who gives them money.
Okay, now, you're focusing and you're not just talking about national elections. You're talking about state, county, and local elections. This is all throughout
the system.
Okay.
And so what happens here is one of the issues that's coming up now, what people don't realize is last November, in February of last year, it's public notice, Ken Theory, the CEO of DaVita, put in a Prop 108.
Uh-huh.
Okay. There was a 107 and a 108, okay? But the 108 was that unaffiliated voters are allowed to vote in a party primary for a candidate. Now, first of all, I totally understand the anger of people who've unregistered, specifically as Republicans, because bottom line is we didn't sell them a product that was trust. We haven't created trust. We have a major trust deficit right now.
Yes, we
especially
do.
With 3 weeks ago when you have the House and the Senate and you can't repeal Obamacare after years of telling the American people and the Republicans you're going to repeal and you didn't do it.
Yes, that's painful.
So that's where we're at right now. So we have this proposition that got brought in. It won by 172,000 votes, 50,000 of which came from Denver alone. Okay, you don't really have any Republicans in Denver. And so it's an interesting thing. But what this says is that the unaffiliated voters can vote in the Republican primary for our candidates.
Okay.
That's unconstitutional.
Yes.
And I think we should talk about that.
Well, I want to give the listener, my listener, some background about this. Your resume is incredible, for starters. You have overcome odds and obstacles very few people have been able to, especially considering everything you do is based on biblical principles, everything you do is based on conservative constitutional ideals, and you have just been steadfast, you have stood firm, and you, Anil, are You're an inspiration to me and my listeners right now, because what you just spoke is, yes, you, the listener, can step up and make a difference and follow Anil's example. Second, I want to kind of explain to the listener what the caucus system is. I think I'm gonna go out on a limb here and assume that you, my listener, may not completely understand how the caucus system works and why I am so for it, and possibly why the establishment GOP is so against it. How much time do we have left, Jason? Okay. When we come back, Anil's going to stay with us. I'm going to go through the very kindergarten crash course of the caucus system, just to kind of give the big picture of why Proposition 108 destroys your voice. You have no voice with Proposition 8, and the state GOP is willing to keep that intact and allow unaffiliated voters around Colorado take away your voice as a GOP voter in a GOP election. I'm going to explain how it works really briefly, and then explain what's coming up and how you can influence our state GOP to do the right thing on September 23rd. All that and more when we come back here on AM 740
KVOR. The things big media won't tell you with Michelle Marin on AM 740 KVOR.
So do you want, as a GOP voter, or maybe as an unaffiliated former GOP voter, do you want other people picking your candidates? For example, we've got a gubernatorial election coming up next year for governor of state of Colorado. Do you want unaffiliated choosing your GOP candidate, the person who's going to go up against the Democrat candidate? And you know the Democrat candidate is going to be aggressive, deceptive, big government. We need this. The way this state is going, we need a staunch conservative governor, Republican gubernatorial candidate. Same thing goes for our state legislature. We've got in the state Senate a majority of one.
Yes, we do.
Republican.
Yes.
And we are a minority in the House.
Yes.
Okay.
But we are led by patriots as the House Minority Leader, Patrick Neville, and others.
Okay.
That are just great. And there is a segment of the Republican Party that is just fighting for our Constitution and fighting for our platform. Rock solid conservatives, you know, Neville and Justin Everett and a whole bunch of others there, you know, Lori Sane and others. So there and so we do have the promise and the hope to move forward.
Okay.
But it requires everyone to continue to focus. And it's sort of like you're cutting your grass. You're not going to let the weeds stay there. You're going to have to pull some of the weeds out. But if you stop cutting the grass and pulling out the weeds, you're not going to have a good yard.
Okay. So we've got a few really solid fighters in our state legislature, and Anil's going to talk about those people again. I want to paint the picture of how important it is that you and I, as registered GOP, how important it is for you and me to pick our candidates going up against the left, and not the same establishment GOP who can't even get Obamacare repealed after 6 years of promising they would, now that they own the House and the Senate at the national level. So does that infuriate you a little bit? Because it gets me boiling. It gets me boiling. Here's a crash course in why we've got Anil Mathai, the GOP county chair of Adams County, Colorado, in the studio with us. I'm going to give you a crash course on how I have known the GOP system to work. It is reminiscent of our Electoral College, a very representative system. So every 2 years, we have precinct meetings. It's called the caucus. And within the state of Colorado, every precinct neighborhood, it's like a neighborhood meeting. Every precinct gathers and votes for GOP leadership, votes for people in that precinct or the neighborhood, if you want to call it that, to lead the GOP to make decisions. So at the caucus, we get precinct leaders elected, we get state delegates elected, we get national national delegates considered, or
it depends on the county. Some get elected to the state convention directly from the precinct, and in my county, it goes to the county convention. From there, you get elected to state.
Yeah. So basically, very key people within the GOP of our state are selected at a grassroots level. You have the opportunity at your caucus to go and meet with your neighbors and listen to people stand up and basically nominate themselves to lead the GOP. And this happens all across the state. And then those people who are elected go to what's called a county-level central committee meeting, and each county does this. And at these county-level central committee meetings, those people that you elected in the neighborhood meetings select the state committee. The state committee is critical. The state committee is the committee that's meeting on September 23rd. The state committee of our county, of our state GOP, makes very critical decisions about the direction of our party in this state. On September 23rd, there's going to be a vote by our GOP state central committee as to whether or not we can, as a party, opt out of Proposition 108. What is Proposition 108? It's this horrible proposition that is now state law that says unaffiliated voters can vote in our primaries, i.e., unaffiliated people can pick our GOP candidates. However, there's a caveat in that Proposition 108, and what it is if either the Democrat Party or the Republican Party decides to opt out of the primary, we can revert back to the caucus system. That's what's going to take place. A vote for whether or not to opt out of the open primaries is going to take place on September 23rd by our state GOP. And at this point, our state chair, Jeff Hayes, has not only signaled, he's come out and said he doesn't want our party to go back to caucus. He wants our party to stay with the open primary so that unaffiliateds can come in and vote and pick our candidates. That's a bad sign because he's the leader of the party and he can easily persuade the state central committee to keep that going. Now, that's why we have Anil in here tonight. Anil, pick up where I've left off.
Well, I mean, it's a great point that you're bringing out. You summarized it correctly.
Okay.
I would like to put a little bit more history from outside the state of Colorado.
Okay, yes. In
1996, this same approach happened through a Proposition 198 in California. And at that time, there was a challenge against the Secretary of State to allow, which is a Republican at the time named Bill Jones. And the conclusion was that people outside the party can come in and vote for private organizations' candidates, okay? That's a separate issue, but that's what was happening. So there was a suit, there was an appeal, and it went to the Supreme Court. And in 2000, everyone knows this man's name, Justice Antonin Scalia.
Uh-huh.
The decision was 7-2 against the Republican Secretary of State and against the Proposition 198 that passed by the voters in favor of the California Democrat Party. There was California Democrats that fought this all the way to Supreme Court about, you know, who's interfering in their elections. And the wording was, this is what Justice Antonin Scalia said. Proposition 198 forces political parties to associate with, to have their nominees and hence their positions determined by those who at best have refused to affiliate with the party and at worst have expressly affiliated with a rival. What Antonin Scalia said. Further, a single election in which the party nominee is selected by non-party members could be enough to destroy the party. Now, here's the question. Why are the Colorado Democrats blasting the Republicans saying, if you don't do this, all the voters are going to vote our candidates. People are not stupid. They're not going to vote for lies and people who have no solutions.
Right.
The Republican platform and the Constitution has solutions. It's called limited government.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we move forward. They're not stupid enough to vote for the Democrats because they have nothing to give to the voters of Colorado other than continued division and all these other activities. Okay,
yeah.
That's what it is, of destruction. But what they want us to not opt out. They want us to have the primary because it makes sense for them. They're going to win.
They will.
We collapse our party. No Republican Republican volunteers. That's the lifeblood of a political party. Is going to show up and vote and support any candidate that does not support the platform and the Constitution. We are by doing this. We are creating our own casket and our own death.
That's a great way of saying it.
And Antonin Scalia made it very clear. This is passed at the U.S. Supreme Court. If this is challenged and goes there, it's going to get overturned by its precedent there.
Okay, so wait a minute. So there's already a legal precedent that this Proposition 108 is unconstitutional.
Proposition 198, okay. Which would be similar to 108 that we have right now, yes.
And that it fuels the rival party and it brings down the party doing this primary. So there's already a legal precedent in place by our beloved Justice Antonin Scalia. Mm-hmm. He penned that opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, this is the first time we've heard this. I've heard this, Anil. Why is our state party not fighting tooth and nail to reverse this proposition in a legal setting as California's Democrats did?
So I can't speak for the state party. I can speak for myself and kind of assume why generally the majority of the Central Committee members of the state party mm-hmm. are supporting this. One thing is this. Republicans have consistently been afraid of the media.
Mm-hmm.
They've been afraid of the Democrats. That's really who sets the agenda. And that's why people from Republicans unaffiliate, leave the party. They cannot trust the party that does not stand on its principles. And the party has constantly, mm-hmm. there's some superstars, okay, some great people that are working, as I mentioned before, for the constitutional documents we're talking about. But consistently, we let the Democrats set our agenda.
Yes, we do.
We let everyone else, the media, set our agenda. Do you think that they're there to support the Constitution, the platform, limited government, for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? They're not there for that.
They're for fake news.
There you go. So they are there. And so guess what happens? We're afraid, oh, we're going to offend people. You know what? We need to have a steel spine and tell people what we stand for.
Amen.
Most Republicans, Michelle, don't even know. In our platform, our national platform, we have 11 principles. Most Republicans don't even know that. And that's how you get unaffiliates back to the Republican Party. Commit to them that this is what we stand for. And I believe a majority of them will come back to the Republican Party because they know, look, I trust this person because they're going to do what they said they're going to do. But right now, with national and other local politics, whatever, they don't trust us.
No, they don't.
And then you wonder why our party, why the state is growing more and more unaffiliated. There is such a backlash against political parties. And with the Republican Party, they need to stand on principle. If you don't have trust, like I told someone told me, if you don't have trust in your marriage, you have no relationship.
Yep.
Right now, the Republican Party has a major deficit in trust. And we have to not just tell unaffiliates, we tell our own Republicans what we stand for.
And we've got people divorcing the party.
There you go. Left and right. There's
the
time.
The talk is nonstop now.
No.
With it from national down to local. This, this vote, you're right. It could put this party in the casket. And not only the party, but our state and our quality of life, because it just by default enables big government. It takes you and me out of the picture. Now, I want to not just blast this. Mm-hmm. I want to give my listener a way to influence this upcoming vote on September 23rd. There has to be a way to reclaim our voice, Anil.
There
has to be a way to overcome this horrible Proposition 108. If the GOP won't challenge it in court, you and I and my listener must take this on because we are a constitutional republic. We are a nation built off of we the people. And not only as in elected officials who are lawmakers, they represent us directly, as it's supposed to be that way in our state GOP, because we are Republican, which is the root word of representative government.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been just the knees have been taken out from all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be able to reclaim that. And I can are you not impressed with Anil's passion about this? He is so educated on this. And I can hear Anil saying the same thing. It is up to you and me, my friends, to influence this and to take this back. And I've given up at the national level for now. I cannot change the lame GOP who control the Senate and the Congress at the national level. There's not a thing we can do with those guys at this moment to influence them to do what's right, to do the tax reform, build the wall, repeal Obamacare, and quit taking recess without doing something. But we can do something here at the state and local level. And Anil will probably talk about that more when we come back from the break, about how you've heard the term all politics is really local. Really and truly, my friends, that's what we're being forced into now, because that's where we have a little power left here in Colorado. But my friends, this is eroding. And if our state GOP does not opt us out of the Proposition 108 open primaries, why are we even in the party? Music means we've got to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about what can you and I do to influence this September 23rd vote. We've got a little over a month here. And you know what? We're just going to talk about this week after week after week. And prayerfully, the GOP will do what's right and get unaffiliateds out of our elections this next primary. We'll be right back here on AM 740 KVOR.
These are the things big media won't tell you.
Trying to make up his own stack. And that is our job.
Yeah.
The Michelle Moran Show.
All right. We've got Anil Mathai, the Colorado Adams County chair for the GOP, here in the studio with us tonight. We're talking about our state party, the GOP party. And we're talking specifically about Proposition 108, that horrible ballot measure that allows unaffiliated voters to vote in the Republican primaries, and basically anybody and everybody except us can start picking our candidates. Mark on Facebook messaged me and said, I've said this before, but we have liberals registering as Republicans so that they can vote for leftist candidates in the primaries. Bingo! That's what they do. And you notice that you probably aren't hearing any Democrats complaining about Proposition 108, because in this state, totally works in their favor. And sadly, we don't have, I know of two Republican Party members who are standing up to speak against Proposition 108. One of them's here in the studio, Anil Mathai, and the other one is in Anil's district. His name is Ben Nicholas. Mm-hmm. He started this petition to get this issue up on the Colorado State GOP Central Committee vote to force a vote on September 23rd. And I'm gonna give you all a solution. I know sometimes folks are in and out of the show. I want to give you a solution in case you have to check out. And then we're going to get back into more about this issue. If you want to influence the vote that's taking place on September 23rd at our GOP state party on the Central Committee, here's what you do. You need to go to your county GOP website. In Colorado, in the El Paso County, it's the GOPElPaso.com website. And you want to contact, write this down, you want to contact the state party leaders, so that would be the state chairs, Jeff Hayes. You want to contact, at the county level, the chair, vice chair, and secretary, because they vote. You want to contact your elected congressional lawmaker. In my case, it would be Congressman Doug Lamborn. He also votes on this. And then the largest group that you want to contact are what's called bonus members. In El Paso County, the way you find those bonus members is you go to GOPElPaso.com. Then you go to the directory. Then you go to the local groups. And then you will find 2017 bonus members elected. And there are a lot of people on that list. And Anil, is there contact information?
It's not there, but the local county party can give you that information.
Okay, so
it's for privacy reasons, and I understand that.
I understand that too. So if you want to influence this, call your county party and get the contact information for your bonus members. Get the contact information for all of these state party leaders, your county party leaders, and call these folks and ask them. And you tell them what to do once they contact them.
Well, first of all, ask them how they're going to vote on this. Are they going to vote for allowing the primary per Prop 108, or are they going to vote to opt out?
Okay.
And that's the first thing here. And then respectfully petition your side of you wanting us to opt out to make this only for Republicans to vote for Republican candidates. Again, we want unaffiliates back in our party. We want them registered. We want to hear everyone's voice come into our party. We have our principles. We have our platform. But encourage them to vote that way. Further, they've also received an email like I have that was sent to State Central Committee members by Mr. Nicholas to get their thoughts. Would they sign on publicly to opt out? That's a way of showing accountability one way or the other. It's not the official vote whatsoever, but it shows a motion, a movement towards that direction. The official vote is September 23rd. So it's important that they reach out to those individuals, their county party officers, their elected officials. And this is just, for other counties, the same situation. Pueblo and Fremont and Elbert and other local counties, Douglas, that are around this radio station area, it's just as equivalent that they do the same thing.
Okay. And a question came to me. Is this vote closed, or can there be can people attend the vote?
I do not know. Normally, I would have no problems with people coming in as guests.
Okay.
And so in Adams County, there's no problems with guests. The only time when you close off a Republican meeting is if you're talking about financial matters or personal matters.
Okay.
Then you go into an executive session. Even that time, I don't even call executive session. As long as you're registered Republican, you're welcome to our meetings. But I would hope that this would be an open meeting.
Do you know where it takes place?
It's not set yet.
Okay.
The date is set, but the official call has not been sent out yet.
So it's an actual vote, physical vote, where they show up and vote?
Yeah. Or the state party allows proxies. I'm against proxies, but they allow proxies.
Oh, that makes me cringe. So
if you can't show up in person, you can give to someone within, based on your jurisdiction of where you live or your district, House District, Senate District, you can have them vote for you. There's nothing guaranteed. You can only trust people at face value. But the best is to be there in person, be part of the action, be part of the discussion, pro or against. But bottom line is we have to have 75% of the central committee. It's an extremely high bar.
75%?
Yeah.
It's not even 51.
Not 51. So,
oh, gosh.
But still move in that direction. See, this is what happened here when this person came up with this proposition.
Mm-hmm.
And then ironically, 3 months ago, this individual registers as a Republican to possibly run, I don't know, as governor. But now he's diluted the base down, so he's going to have an easier chance if he does run. So this is all part of a scheme. Nothing is by accident.
No, it's not.
Don't think it is. And the only thing is, like with your local city councils, your elected officials, if we stay home and don't do anything, I mean, we all have lives. I have to pay bills. You know, I take care of my wife and kids. Everyone has to pay bills and take care. But 1 hour a week to save our country, starting at the local level, is not too much to ask. And so get involved. Go to the city council meetings. When politicians see people there, the voters there, they get nervous, if they're doing something that's not right. And you hold them accountable. Send them emails. Send them phone calls. But here at the party level, this is the same situation.
It is.
The party's responsibility, you always hear, well, we got to get Republicans elected. Well, what does that mean anymore? What does it mean?
It doesn't mean not Democrat.
That's right. As long as they have an R behind their name, that's what's... No. We need to vet our candidates. Mm-hmm. We need to vet our political officers and need to know, do you stand with the platform? Do you stand with the Constitution? The Democrats do that with their candidates. I dare a pro-life, quote, pro-life Democrat to try to run. They're very clear on where they stand.
Yeah, they cut those out, haven't
right?
they?
So that's where we're at. But people can contact these people and contact them as soon as possible and continue to petition them to help us opt out of Prop 108.
Okay. So again, if you're listening and you want to try to influence this September 23rd vote, I urge you, Anil urges you, our Constitution, the ideals of our Constitution, our founding fathers would urge you to do this. I know it's easy to let other people fight the fight, and Anil and I both heard that. I used to be as involved as Anil. Life got busy, and so I've had to pull back a little bit in the Republican Party. But you know what? It's worth it. Freedom is worth it. Our constitutional republic is worth it. And Colorado is worth it. Colorado has gone so deep blue, and I fear it's going to go as deep blue as California. And Neil's going to talk about that when we come back. I'm getting the signal that we need to go. We'll be right back talking more about state GOP and affiliated voting in our primaries and much more when we come back here on AM 740 KVUR.
The things big media won't tell you with Michelle Marin on AM 740 KVOR.
All right. Give me a call at 719-540-0740 if you'd like to join in the discussion with Anil Mathai and me. We are discussing the September 23rd state GOP vote that's going to determine whether or not we as a party opt out of the open primaries, allowing unaffiliated voters to select our GOP candidates. That's a mouthful, but it's basically, as Anil came on last week over by phone and said, if you're in a homeowners association, do you want people that are outside of the neighborhood and outside of the association voting on the laws in your neighborhood, voting on how many cars can be in the driveway, how many plants need to be planted, how big your signs can be, et cetera, et cetera? I know the answer is no, you don't. That's the same exact scenario here. Why on earth is it looking like and sounding like our state GOP is going to keep us in the Proposition 108 open primary situation with unaffiliates? Denver Post, and I have to give credit to Denver Post. My role here is to tell you what big media won't. Denver Post, I consider Denver Post big media. They actually brought this to light. This is how I found out about this. So I'm going to give them credit where it's due. A week ago, they did post an article about this. It was slightly biased to the establishment side of things. They were kind of going along with the state chair, Jeff Hayes, and kind of, you know, mocking us conservatives for not wanting to have unaffiliated vote in our elections. But credit where credit's due. They did bring this to light. Had they not brought it to light, Anil, I probably would have had to find out from you very indirectly. And that's just how it goes. So other than the Denver Post, I don't know who else is talking about this. This is ultra critical.
Yeah.
Ultra critical. Why isn't the state GOP talking about it? Why aren't they supporting the caucus instead of the open primaries? In that Denver Post article, it quoted our state chair, Jeff Hayes, as saying something, and I'm going to paraphrase, something along the lines of, well, there's a small minority of people in the party that don't want to see these open primaries, and they want to see us go back to the caucus system. And the tone of the quote was, in my opinion, it was condescending. Oh, those little noisy conservatives, noisemakers, mm-hmm. You know, they're just a small little minority. Do you mm-hmm. think it's a small minority?
Not at all. And I believe what the chairman is trying to tie it to is his election. He did talk about that issue against George Athanasopoulos, but that's not a one-for-one situation. Furthermore, the Denver Post did call me up about that article. But
they did?
Yeah, I was too busy that night to call the reporter back. I would have refuted that. I believe this is just trying to suppress this discussion, this issue. And again, I refer back to our late, great conservative Supreme Court justice.
Yes.
That if he can see it, that a single election in which the party nominee is selected by non-party members could be enough to destroy the party. If this man can see it, and it was ruled 7-2, not 4-5, 7-2, overwhelmingly what this was about, the removal of our First Amendment right to freedom of association, then I am flabbergasted that the majority of the state central committee would go in that direction. I don't think that's the case. I think if we educate the issue, again, the unaffiliated voters are frustrated and angry that they're not part of the process. But the problem here is they took themselves out of the process.
They did.
No one forced them out. I want them in my county and other counties to come back in. Look at our principles. If you believe in them, we want you in the party. But there's this oxymoronic type view that, oh, well, we'll let them pick our candidates. We don't know who they are, but we'll let them pick our candidates, and so we can educate them to become Republicans. No, we're on the verge of – this is utter stupidity.
It is utter stupidity.
And again, California. Yes. Remember the Democrat Party sued, and they won in Supreme Court with the 7-2 decision?
Yeah, yeah. And back up, and we've probably got new listeners tuning in.
Okay.
Explain why you brought in Scalia and why he said so. Explain to the listener what the California. I want you to share your experience with California, and I want you to share why Scalia opined on California and why that's similar to what we've got going here.
Yeah, and so in 1996, there was a Proposition 198 similar to what we had here.
Proposition 108.
To 108 here, where it was people outside the party can pick candidates. Isn't this ironic and similar to what we're going through right now? And a couple of parties sued the Republican Secretary of State, who wanted to enforce what the voters chose. It was sued. Then the Democrat Party appealed, and that appeal by a Republican federal judge did not go in the direction of the Democrat Party, and they sued to the Supreme Court.
Okay.
And then the Supreme Court, by a 7-2 decision, overturned the Court of Appeals.
So there were leftist-leaning judges who even agreed.
Yes, and that's what happened. This is what, again, this is ironic.
This is crazy.
Democrats were suing the Republicans. The Republicans wanted open primaries. And guess what the situation is today?
What is the situation in California?
The Republican Party is impotent in California.
Yeah.
A friend of mine ran for governor. They brought in a Democrat who's registered a Democrat, Neil Kashkari, the week before, as he told me, and to run against him. He was winning. The establishment, the big money, could not allow him, the grassroots Tea Party person, to win. And so they brought him in, undercut him. It was like 7.2 to 1. You got to read the book, Patriot, Not Politician, by Tim Donnelly. But this was the saddest. The party has collapsed.
Yeah.
Right now, their party leader is caught up in a marital scandal over there in California. And they're impotent. California Democrats have a supermajority. Now, the question is, why would the unaffiliateds and other people not vote for the Republican Party, who just supported open primaries? Because they don't trust these people.
Right.
And you see it in what the history has shown in California. What has happened? The Republican Party has collapsed. Yes, there's a formal Republican Party, but no one votes for it. When the Democrats have supermajority status, that's why California has socialism and illegal aliens and all this other stuff that's happening there.
You know, everything you're saying, I'm relaying it to Colorado, and that's the direction we're going.
Yes,
already.
That's exactly.
We're
right.
Already turning blue. Mm-hmm. We've got these insane laws that just keep getting more insane, and mm-hmm. more big government and mm-hmm. more leftist. And now we've got a Republican Party that is saying nothing mm-hmm. about getting out of the open primary.
Mm-hmm.
My friends, you can change. I truly believe you can influence this vote on September 23rd. So on September 23rd. Our Colorado State Party is going to have a meeting. They're going to vote on whether or not unaffiliateds can participate in our GOP primaries. If you're as infuriated and as passionate about this as I am, please pay attention to what I'm going to tell you next. There is something you can do. And just like we pressure lawmakers, now our state party needs pressure. So write this down. You may not have to write it down, but you want to contact several people. First of all, you want to contact your county GOP county office. And in El Paso County, it's GOPElPaso.com. And there are several different people you want to contact and ask them if they're voting for the opt-out of 108 or not. And there is, first of all, you want to contact the state party chair, Jeff Hayes. You want to contact your county chair, your county vice chair, and your county secretary. You want to contact your congressional, at the national level, representative. In El Paso County's case, that would be Doug Lamborn. He also will vote on this, or at least he has the power of the vote. But more than that, we have what's called bonus members in every county, and it's a large number of elected GOP party members who are going to be casting this vote. And if you will contact these people, ask them, Anil, what do you want them to ask? You want them to ask, are you going to opt out?
Going to vote.
Okay.
And then tell them how you want them to vote.
Okay.
As their representative, state central committee. And then also fill out the petition that was emailed to them. To publicly state which side they're going to go with.
Okay.
And then vote accordingly to opt out on September 23rd. If they're not in person, make sure they turn their proxy to a person who will do that.
Okay. And we're about to go to a break, but when we come back next segment, Anil really wants to share with you the GOP platform. We've got 11 Republican principles in our platform, and he wants to share those and emphasize how important those principles are, and is the state party aligning with those? And how important are those to the unaffiliated voters? So when we come back, we're going to talk about that. Again, I'll give you the way to hopefully influence this vote on September 23rd. And we'll talk more. We've got a lot more to cover. We're going to talk about Charlottesville. We're going to talk about McMaster, Trump's national security advisor. This guy has got to go yesterday. He's not trustworthy. He's firing key conservatives. And he's against what you and I stand for and believe in. I'm going to share more about that with you a little bit later in the show. But call. You've got another segment, another 10 minutes or so to call if you want to ask Anil Mathai any questions about this Prop 108. And we'll do that when we come back and get going from there.
You're listening to Michelle Morin on AM 740 KVOR.
All right. We've got Anil Mathai in the studio with us tonight. He has graciously driven down from the Denver area to join us because he feels so passionate about our Constitution, about our Republican principles, not about the Republican R, but about our principles, that he's taken time out of his evening, taken time away from his family to come here and talk to you and me about why September 23rd is a key date. And I've asked Anil if he'll check in with us each week and we'll kind of keep this momentum going because this is so critical. My friends, Colorado is on its deathbed as far as constitutional principles go. It's gasping for air. And when our party is not willing to keep the party Republican, there's a huge problem in this state. Come on. Come on. So Anil is going to he really wants to talk about the Republican principles, our platform, and speak to unaffiliated. Anil?
This opportunity again to the Republican voters who are frustrated and about to unaffiliate, I would just say, look, there are great organizations like Principles of Liberty that mm-hmm. ranks our state legislators. Go to Principles of Liberty, their website. There's Colorado Union of Taxpayers that deal with fiscal issues to make sure, are they really fiscally conservative? I always have an opposition here when people say they're fiscally conservative and socially liberal. I said that's oxymoronic because social liberal policies steal taxpayer monies to fund them.
They sure do.
And they grow government. So that's an oxymoron. Positions, but those are two great groups within the state. You also have Heritage Foundation to hold our federal elected officials. But to the unaffiliated, I wanted to make it very clear. I understand your frustration. I understand your anger. There are Republican voters, grassroots, that are feeling the same way. You're dealing with a Republican Party that basically has not kept its principles, has lied to you, it wants power, is part of big money, big government, a cronyism type, and you have every right to leave. But what I would encourage you to do is this. In our platform, we have 11 principles. Number one is we believe in American exceptionalism. We are the greatest nation on this earth.
We are.
Never should we have to do we have to be ashamed about that. I've traveled to 54 plus countries, and every time I land here and I see that American flag, and I love India. That's my parents' background. Mm-hmm. I love going there, but every time I land here, I'm so thankful that I was, by God, I was thankful to God that I was born here.
Yep.
Our second principle is we believe the United States of America is unlike any other nation on earth. Who in the world frees nations like we do?
Yeah.
You know, there's always this thing where we're taking over. No. Germany is still free. Japan is still free. We are unlike any other nation. We are the city on the hill. We have defended Israel. We have defended and given people more freedom than ever before and let them run their own lives because that's what our Constitution says. That's what our Declaration declared, and that's what we're doing. So we are practicing that. We believe, another principle is we believe America is exceptional because of our historic role. First as refugee, then as defender, and now as an exemplar of liberty for the world to see. We're practicing what we preach. We want people to make their own decisions. And that's why it's consistent here with Prop 108. Come into the party. Register as a party. Get involved. Look at our principles and fight with us against big government, against tyranny. We need you. Another one is we affirm, as did the Declaration of Independence, that all are created equal, endowed by their Creator, God, with inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Oh.
I stand 100% for life, I stand 100% for liberty, and I stand at 100% for the pursuit of happiness, which is property rights, okay? And that's one of our principles. We believe in the Constitution as our founding document. That's another principle here. We cannot be a Republican growing government, and which is opposite of our platform and our Constitution. And you need to hold these Republicans accountable.
Yeah.
Michelle, one of the things political parties and others don't want to talk about is I keep telling people, if these people are not following our principles, Republicans, and they're not following the Constitution, primary them. Kick them out.
Yep.
It is up to we, the people, to deal with this issue. You know, don't do that. We'll lose majority. I don't care about the majority.
I care
about the principles. I care about people of integrity and good character, and that's how we'll save our nation.
Yeah, and the majority doesn't matter, obviously, does it?
No.
Because
no.
We've got a majority in the Senate and the House.
There you go.
The principles matter. Not the majority. You're right. Very good point.
And people want to trust that. So if you go to, our national RNC and look for the platform, it should be also at the county party level. There's all these different, there's 11 principles in their Constitution, separation of government, limited government. It's in our It's one of our principles, and yet the Republicans at the national level do not believe in limited government. They believe that you deserve to pay tens of thousands of dollars in your deductible, and you have no health insurance.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that if you can't pay your deductible, you don't have health insurance. Okay, and so
sing it, you know.
So there's a couple of principles, but to the unaffiliated, I hear your frustration.
Mm-hmm.
But come back, study our principles, and if they make sense to you, come back and fight to make sure that the people who follow that or the candidates follow in line with that. We can turn this around, starting at the local level. Make sure there's not one local position not being filled and run for and win. We stop corruption at the local level. That's how we defeat it in Washington.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Can you breathe after hearing all that? Those principles. How often do we hear those principles, my friends? How often? Is this probably the first time we've heard these principles? No. We hear about Russia, and we hear about fake news. All this principle stuff gets washed away. This is the reality of what America is. America is the most exceptional nation in history, and Anil is right. It is up to you and me to get involved. And I've been an activist for about 10 years, mm-hmm. and I have been told repeatedly by many well-intended, kind, sweet people, Michelle, thank you for what you're doing. Thanks for fighting. And I love the thanks, and I love the recognition, but I'm one person, and I can't do it all. Freedom requires all of us to get involved. If you go all the way back to the founders, these were just people who were fighting. George Washington left his home in Mount Vernon. He left it. He didn't want to. He went out on the battlefield and risked his life for not only the people of that day, but for the hundreds of thousands of unborn people coming after him. And I don't want to waste what these founding fathers did for us. This is the most exceptional nation in history. And it is up to you and me. Anil is so right. And we have been forced into this place where national elections really don't do much, as we're finding out. And Anil's right. I would rather have a party that dies on principle than wins on the R. And yes, that's sacrilege in the party mm-hmm. as it is right now. Mm-hmm. That's a statement that's, you got to be kidding. You would be willing to lose to the Democrats? You're darn right I would, as long as the principles survive. Our ideals, Anil, are what can't die. And if big media has its way, and if big leftists have their way, all those ideals that you and I and our listeners here stand for go away. All this division, the Charlottesville riots that have been going on, the big media push, the fake news, all this chaos, the racism, the sexism, the homophobism, the Islamophobia, all of this nonsense. I'm going to read you a memo in the next segment. There's a guy in the National Security Advisory Office who wrote this memo, 7-page memo. His name is Higgins. I think that's his name. McMaster, the head of the National Security Advisor, he fired this guy, Higgins, for writing this 7-page memo. And I'm not going to read it all to you, but I read the memo, and it's spot on about what Anil and I are trying to talk about. It's spot on about how basically the Marxist leftist message is taking over everything. And the whole, by design, it's designed to annihilate what you and I are talking about. It's mm-hmm. designed to annihilate the principle discussion. It's designed to destroy what's important, what made this nation great. Mm-hmm. The left hates this nation and have since day one. Mm-hmm. Tyranny hates us. Tyrants hate us. Mm-hmm. Leftists all over hate us. And leftists in our own country hate what you and I are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Why does our GOP, why are they just being quiet and saying they want to support open primaries.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It's utterly stupid, and it puts not only the GOP in the grave, it puts the state of Colorado in
That's
the grave,
right.
and it hammers that final nail shut. I do not want to let that happen. I love my state.
Mm-hmm.
I love my nation, and I love these principles, and you got me all fired up here reading off those principles from the GOP. Why are those our principles, but we don't have candidates and state party members upholding them and fighting for them like you are?
Let's never forget, we the people. That's how it all started.
We the people.
People. No one can defeat us. They'll try, and they'll try to silence us, but we the people stand up. Let's start with opting out of the primary.
Yep.
And let's contact our bonus members and all the people that Michelle talked about, and let's move forward that way and send a strong message.
Oh, Anil, thank you so much for coming in tonight.
You're welcome.
When we come back from the break, I will give you that contact info and tell you again how to influence the September 23rd vote so that we can get back to those awesome, amazing founding principles that made this the most exceptional nation in history, of which I am not ashamed. I'm happy. You've lifted my mood, Anil. You brought me back to gives me a pulse here tonight. So I'm going to say goodbye to Anil. Thanks again for coming in. And Anil is going to check in with us each week.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about this because we're going to do what we can to influence this and save Colorado.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're
Michelle.
So welcome. Thanks, Anil. About this, or a little bit more about this, I'm going to be telling you about our National Security Advisor, McMaster, who needs to go yesterday, and talk a little bit more about Charlottesville and how in the world does that tie into this talk about GOP, the GOP state vote. I can show you how when we come back here on AM 740 KVOR.
The things big media won't tell you.
He's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts so that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job.
Yeah. With Michelle Marin on AM 740 KVOR.
All righty. So Anil Mathai was in here, and we talked about this whole horrific Prep 108. And I want to give you a call to action. If you want the GOP State Central Committee to opt us out of Prop 108, meaning if you want the state GOP to vote to disallow unaffiliated voters from determining who our GOP candidates are, there is something you should do. And it requires some time. But what you need to do is go find on your county GOP website, go to that site, and from there, contact the following people. Contact the state party leader, Jeff Hayes. He's the chair. Contact your county chair, your county vice chair, and your county secretary, because all these people are going to be casting a vote. Contact your congressman, because your congressman has a seat at the table. So in my case, it would be Representative Doug Lamborn. He has a seat at the table to vote. And more than that are bonus members. There are a boatload of bonus members in every county. This is where the majority of votes are going to come from. In my case, to find my bonus members, I have to go to my county website. It's GOPElPaso.com. Then I click on the directory tab. Then I click on the local groups tab. And then I will find the 2017 bonus members elected. And it's a long list of names, and those are the people you need to contact. Call them and ask them how they're going to vote on this vote on September 23rd. And if they don't know, ask them politely and respectfully to vote to opt us out of Proposition 108 so that the GOP selects our candidates, not unaffiliated voters. And that's what you can do. We're going to have Anil Mathai check in with us every week here up until September 23rd. I'm going to be sending out reminders and on how to do this, talking about reminders, how to do this. This, my friends, is how we take back our country. We have to take it back one at a time. You and I have to do this. That is what a constitutional republic is all about. It's about you and me choosing people who represent us, not who represents someone from another party, and not someone who's unaffiliated, who doesn't have a loyalty to a party. And it's up to us, my friends. So let's get on this, and let's let the state GOP know that we want to opt out of the Proposition 108. All right, enough said about that tonight. Again, thanks to Anil Mathai for coming all the way down to Colorado Springs to join us for this. I want to talk about a couple things. Charlottesville, the horrific Charlottesville situation. That's basically, from what I know, I've done some reading on it. It's not 100% clear who was at Charlottesville, who was beating up upon whom. We know that they're calling it alt-right. We know that a guy who's affiliated with the white supremacists got in a car, plowed through a crowd, and injured about 30 folks and killed a person, a 32-year-old woman. This is murder. And Senator Ted Cruz says the Justice Department needs to get involved, and I believe that ball is now rolling because that needs to be investigated as domestic terrorism. That's exactly what it is. It's a horror that this happened on our soil, and it was our own, it wasn't even Islamic terrorism. Now it's happening within the extreme factions that are going on. And from what I know, this was originally an organized protest by a movement calling themselves Unite the Right. And from what I know about Unite the Right is it's basically white supremacists. Translation, white racists, white people who are racist, and KKK, a couple of other groups. That's basically the gist of it. Now, if anyone knows differently, call me and let me know, because details are still coming out as I speak, 719-540-0740. And I parallel this. It looks like, from what I hear, Black Lives Matter showed up and or Antifa showed up. But it was definitely two groups hating each other, and it escalated to murderous proportions. Now, we've got Virginia Governor McAuliffe, who's famous for telling us that 30 million people die every year or every day from gun violence. And he's making incredible statements about this protest and this riot. He came out and told, he said, I don't know if you saw the video of him talking, but it personally, it's pathetic. And it reminds me, golly, our elected officials are so embarrassing. We've got not only McAuliffe, but we've got Governor Chris Christie. We've got our own governor, John Hickenlooper. We've just got governors running these states who are just flat out unimpressive. And when they're impressive, they're sitting on beaches like a beached whale, not letting the public join them, but, you know, closing a public beach for their own private use. Governor Christie. Jason's dying to say something.
Can I break in just for a second? I want to, in the vein of fake news, I don't want you to report the false facts.
Right?
He said 93 million people die every single day from gun
violence. Oh, it was 93 million.
93 million.
I was off a little.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Okay. Which would have meant the American population would have expired in about
3 or 4 days.
Yeah. So we've got Governor McAuliffe, Virginia governor, and I watched a video. I didn't get any audio for the show tonight. It was lengthy, but he reminds me of every other leftist out there just opportunizing on this. This is a crisis where he can be somebody and he can tell the alt-right where to go, which is what he did. And I hate using the term alt-right. I'm kind of using it in a quote context. At the beginning of the show, I said I don't like that term, and I'll explain that in a minute. But Governor McAuliffe said to the white supremacists, he lauded Jefferson and Washington, but then he said to the protesters, there's no place for you in America. He insisted that we're here to bring people together and unify folks. We're a nation of immigrants, unless you're Native American. And he said, please go home and never come back. Take your hatred and take your bigotry. He didn't call for dialogue. He didn't call for, you know, making nice. He actually singled out a group and told them to go home. He told the white supremacists to go home. Now, I don't like the white supremacists. I don't like them. But guess what? Guess what? In America, you have a right to hold whatever view you choose. You have a right to say whatever you choose, whether I agree with you or not. Now, the left doesn't hold that view. The left wants you and me to go home. Now, the whole reason I don't like this whole... See, the narrative spewing about this whole Charlottesville tragedy is alt-right. It's the alt-right that started this, and then they got the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter. It's all the alt-right's fault. Okay. Alt-right, my friends, is a misnomer. It's a deliberate misnomer, and it's designed to blur the lines between conservatives like you and me who are not racist with the KKK and their friends who are racist. Because here you have it. Anyone who becomes a racist is not conservative anymore. And that's not just my opinion. It's just the way it is. Because here in America, we are all created equal. And anyone who's anybody can tout that they support gun rights and they support free markets. Anyone can say all that. But when you start drilling down and saying, except blacks, except Mexicans, except whomever, then you, if that's your in your heart and you hate someone of a different race, then the we are created equal clause doesn't apply anymore in your mind. And that bothers me. That bothers me because anyone who would believe that, i.e. the KKK, who also believes in gun rights, they're not going to be afraid to use their gun rights, you know, in these situations. And unfortunately, we have proof of that. We had a one of these white supremacist guys drive through a crowd and kill somebody today. So don't let big media, don't let anybody frame you, my friend, conservative, constitutional, loving conservative, in this alt-right box. It's garbage. It's a false narrative designed to scare you from standing up and saying, yep, I'm on the right side of the spectrum because I'm a constitutional conservative. I just want you to be very, very careful and not get lost in this mayhem of words that's deliberately being used against us, all of us who voted for Trump, all of us who stand by these conservative principles. Don't let this happen. Don't let it dissuade you from being a conservative and from supporting our Constitution. We've got another note about Governor McAuliffe. We've got Breitbart's Rahim Kassam. He's one of the Breitbart reporters. If you look online, you'll find a video of Governor McAuliffe speaking. And Rahim, he was there with the governor, and he was very, very close to him. And while the governor was blasting Unite the Right, Rahim said, what about Antifa? Are you going to condemn them too? He asked it three or four times. The governor heard him and conveniently ignored him. So here we've got this situation. You and I are being framed. You and I are being polarized. You and I are being demonized because we voted for Trump and because KKK likes Trump. Hence, we must be like KKK. Hence, this whole thing is our fault. It's insane. So we'll talk more about it when we come back. That music means we've got to take a little break. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. We've got GOP out there condemning Trump for not condemning the white supremacists. And, oh, gosh, I'm going to get going on that. And I'm going to talk to you about McMaster, National Security Advisor, H.R. McMaster, needs to be fired yesterday. And I think Trump knows this, so I think we're going to see another firing soon. If we don't, there's a serious problem, a more serious problem. More on that when we come back.
These are the things big media won't tell you with Michelle Marin on AM 740 KVOR.
So Trump tweeted yesterday this: we all must be united and condemn all that hate stands for. There's no place for this kind of violence in America. Let's come together as one. There's something wrong with that? Well, we're going to make some GOP people mad tonight because it just doesn't stop. Our own Senator Cory Gardner, Colorado U.S. Senator from Colorado, tweeted, Mr. President, we must call evil by its name. These were white supremacists, and this was domestic terrorism. Senator Gardner, why are you condemning him with this holier-than-thou talk? He condemned both sides, the president did, and he condemned all that hate stands for. And he said, let's come together as one. And Senator Gardner's hung up on, you know, these were white supremacists and this was domestic terrorism. Why is he correcting the president with his tweet? I don't even see a need for it unless you're just looking for something to correct him for. Marco Rubio, he tweeted, very important for the nation to hear the president describe events in Charlottesville for what they are, a terror attack by white supremacists. Senator Orrin Hatch tweeted, their tiki torches may be fueled by citronella, but their ideas are fueled by hate and have no place in civil society. We should call evil by its name. My brother didn't give his life fighting Hitler for Nazi ideas to go and challenge here at home. Oh, my goodness. Lots of GOP are holier than thou with this, you know, this narrative, because Trump didn't quite say it right. Trump didn't identify which groups. He identified both sides and condemned it. What else do you want? What else does he want? Jason, you had a parallel about this whole alt-right narrative going on and shared with me over the break. I want you to share that with my listeners.
Well, and I don't know if they would even, if it would be a knock against them, but if they keep connecting the most extreme, like, racist, bigoted, white supremacist as the alt-right, wouldn't you also associate the Black Lives Matter as the alt-left?
Yeah.
That's, in my mind, that's what, if you're going to do that, if you're going to make those comparisons, why wouldn't you do that?
Well, and we concluded that
they probably wouldn't care.
They don't care.
Okay, yeah. Even though it's a racist organization. And that, another point I want to make is, where were they when all this Black Lives Matter were going crazy and rioting and stopping people from speaking?
Yeah.
They weren't calling that domestic terrorism.
No, they weren't.
Nobody was saying a word. They were just, oh, the people are mad.
Yeah. And mark my words, this is what's going on. The reason it's alt-right is so that you and I can be framed like the driver who plowed through the crowd and killed a person and tried to kill many more.
Oh, yeah. I can already see it right now. They can just dismiss you, and any opinion you have is, oh, you're just alt-right.
Yep. And the GOP, as Anil was saying, they're so scared of being labeled as this, that, or the other. They don't want to be labeled the alt-right. They want to make sure they're, you know, electable, so they just have no spine. Jeff Flake said, the white supremacy in Charlottesville does not reflect the values of the America I know. Hate and bigotry have no place in this country. Tim Scott tweeted, domestic terror in Charlottesville must be condemned by every single one of us. Otherwise, hate is simply emboldened. I don't know what else you want to condemn. Everybody, everybody with a conscience condemns this.
Yeah.
So,
well, no, they don't want you just to condemn hate. They don't want you just to condemn the act of violence. They want you to condemn the certain person or certain people.
Yes, they do. Speaking of which, Stanford University. I'm going to go on a rabbit trail
yes.
here. Guess what their new course is, Jason? And three guesses. Oh. Abolishing.
I want to say homophobia.
Oh, no.
No?
It's oh, no. Abolishing whiteness.
Oh, okay. I forgot that was one of the main problems we have we're dealing with right now.
Yep. Stanford University is introducing a course this fall that's going to be all about abolishing whiteness. The title of the course is White Identity Politics, and it's going to analyze the future of whiteness like it's a disease.
I'm just thinking to myself, if I introduced a, you know, getting rid of blackness, holy cow. That would be the end of anything I ever wanted to do.
It would be the end of you, and yes, it would. It's an analysis. The course description alleges it's the rise of white identity politics in the United States as a result of the 2016 presidential election. Of course.
So we're not even 6 months that we're what
no.
eight, 9 months now out, and they're already calling it really.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you Trump supporters who are white, you suffer from whiteness, and Stanford University is going to teach their students. And you know,
they have the cure.
And if leftists wonder why Charlottesville, if you wonder why Charlottesville, it's stuff like this. Ernest Miranda is a spokesperson for Stanford. She told the College Fix that abolishing whiteness is a concept devised in the 1990s to encourage whites in the Western world to stop identifying as white in order to help end inequalities. Whiteness is a form of racial oppression. There can be no white race without the phenomenon of white supremacists. So if you want to know why Charlottesville, this kind of stuff, putting this in young adults' heads fuels this nonsense and this violence. Cannot tell me it doesn't. The narrative finally escalated to murder this weekend. And this kind of college course is going to have blood on its hands because of it, too. That's my take on it.
And the worst part about it is they think that they're helping. They're like, oh, all these people who are hating down in, we're trying to help them. They were suffering from whiteness.
Gosh. All right. In the last few minutes we have here, this is really serious. National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster needs to go. He needs to go yesterday. He fired National Security Council staffer Rich Higgins over a memo that he wrote. It's a 7-page memo. I printed it out. It's too long to read if this memo says everything I try to say in a program. And the gist of it is that basically, I'm going to read the intro. He writes, the Trump administration is suffering under withering information campaigns designed to undermine, delegitimize, and ultimately remove the president. Now, the guy who wrote this, for context, is the guy who McMaster fired. The guy who wrote this name is Higgins. He got fired by McMaster. And he has 7 pages here. He says, if action is not taken to rescope and respond to the hostile campaigns going on against our president, the administration risks implosion and subsequent early departure from the White House, meaning he's going to get impeached. This is not politics as usual, he writes, but rather political warfare at an unprecedented level that is openly engaged in the direct targeting of a seated president through manipulation of the news cycle. At its core, these campaigns run on multiple lines of effort, such as the nonviolent line of effort of a wider movement, and execute political narratives, political warfare agendas that reflect cultural Marxist outcomes. There's so much more I want to share from this. I'm going to post it on social media. You need to just kind of glance through it. You don't have to read the whole thing. This guy, Higgins, wrote this memo. It talks about mainstream media, the deep state, Democrats, Republicans, who are all basically everything that they're doing to oust our sitting president. And the guy got fired by National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster because when McMaster read it, this is according to Breitbart, he imploded, I think was the word. No, he detonated. And then he fired Higgins, the writer. This is a problem. McMaster's got to go. There's much more, and I've got to go now. I'll talk to you next week here on AM 740 KVOR, 9 to 11 p.m. If you missed any of the show, check the website, kvor.com, for my podcast, and I am signing off.